Welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and Shalom Chavarim to all of you listening either locally on 1220 AM radio, or if you're experiencing a little static on that radio and you want to get a better signal, hey, just go to the net. Just go to WHKWradio.com, and that will make all the difference in the world. This is John Bartlett, your co-host, with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford, whose passion is to share with you biblical gold nuggets using our lost Hebraic roots about the end times. And a reminder, you can re-listen to this show later this week, as well as about 4 years of archived programs, all labeled for you to choose from. It's a wealth of information, shofarministries.net. Now, as we always do, we're going to ask the Lord to join us. And you're just, I love Sheila Crawford. She is a great friend, and as well as a great Bible teacher. Abba, thank you for sending your son, Yeshua, to atone our sins. Give us the Holy Spirit and return for us to take us with you to heaven. And I know I'm far from perfect. None of us are perfect, but your perfect son lived a perfect life so that we could stand before you. And we won't have to face the judgment that's coming upon this world. And we thank you so much for that, Abba, that you love us that much to do that. Please open our ears and hearts and minds, mine personally and all our listeners. Send your Holy Spirit to guide us. We want to know what your Spirit is saying to us these days through your Word. And all those that have sent in prayer requests, we ask that you answer them in your mercy and grace. And in the name of Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, John. What a beautiful prayer. And Tuda Rabah to you. And Shalom to all you listeners as well. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And thanks for joining us on our new time now every Tuesday at 8 p.m.
Here we are again. You can tell your friends, please do. You know, we're here Tuesdays.
That's right.
8 o'clock.
That's right. And Friday, June 1st, and every first Friday of the month, Shofar Assembly is meeting at Chester Christian Center in Chesterland. Please come out and join our somewhat open forum Bible study gathering with Messianic type worship with, of course, John.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you very much. Somewhat open forum. Now,
yes.
That's different. I like that. And if you would like Sheila to come out to your church or even your home group, just give her a call at 440-834-9006.
And, you know, I had an email that we gave our statement of faith last week, but they wanted me to expound on it just a little bit more.
Okay,
so I kind of rewrote it, and I think it's time to read it, okay?
So you're going to elaborate a little more.
Yeah,
okay.
For especially the new listeners.
Okay, great.
But we believe in the Trinity, that the eternal Jesus came in the flesh, who was born of the Virgin Mary, crucified, and rose from the dead. He sent the Holy Spirit to empower all believers, and is coming again in two more stages, at the rapture or resurrection, depending on if you're dead or alive, and then for all to see at the end of the seven-year tribulation. And we here on this program adhere to that position and are ready to defend it, as Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:2.
He said, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering, that's patience,
mm-hmm.
and teaching, and that's instruction.
That's right. He says to rebuke others when they're going the wrong way.
Yeah.
You know, and instead you hear people say, quit judging me. I'm not judging you. Mm-hmm. Judging means you're saying that they're going to hell.
That's right.
You know, we don't know what the definitions are anymore of words.
Have you ever been rebuked by the Lord?
Well, yeah.
I have, and you know what?
Of course.
A rebuke from the Lord is better than the best compliment you could get on earth from a person.
That's right.
And that's how gentle and how loving he rebukes. And we can follow that pattern, too. We can say it in love.
Yes. Well, that's what this ministry is all about. It's to get people prepared and ready in season and out of season to defend what they believe and to stand for something instead of just saying, oh, well, whatever happens, I'm just one of those pan tribbers. Whatever happens, happens. It'll all pan out in the end. Isn't that how they say it?
Yeah.
That's just a cop-out for not having to learn.
That's true.
Our number one desire of this ministry is to stir you up to spend more time in God's Word. And, of course, showing you why it's so important. And in these days especially, you know, we're experiencing the death of discernment in the church. We talk about this a lot, and we won't expound on it right now tonight. But only the Word produces real discernment, and that's what Hebrews 5:14 tells us. And you can read that on your own, but through the Word, you exercise your senses by frequent use of the Word. In fact, you know what? Can you just read a couple of verses like 11 through 14, John?
Okay, be glad to. We have much to say about this.
Now, this is, by the way, this verse is speaking of Jesus being our high priest.
Mm-hmm. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn.
Yeah, he was telling him, oh my goodness.
In fact, though, by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truth of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness.
That's right, and just let me add about it. It says by this time you ought to be teachers. That just means instructors. It doesn't mean the gift of teaching, you know, something like I do.
Mm-hmm.
It means just sharing the Word of God.
Oh.
But they weren't, and, you know, people aren't today because they don't know enough of the Word to really be able to share it. And the solid food belongs to those who are of full age or mature, verse 14 says, in the Word. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. How are you going to know the difference between good and evil? Because now, according to Isaiah 5, they're going to call good evil and evil good. And that's exactly what they're doing today.
That's right.
Exactly.
And people that don't know the Lord are falling for it.
Oh, yeah.
They're falling for it.
Especially, like, with homosexuality and
mm-hmm.
you know, fornication, sex before marriage. They're saying it's good. Oh, I would never get married to somebody without living with them first. They think it's good.
They think that's good.
And it's wrong.
Oh, my goodness. You said one time, you quoted, my people perish for lack of
knowledge.
Mm-hmm. And you told us that the Word said, my people are dumb.
That's right.
And that means dumb in the fact that my people are silent
mm-hmm.
for lack of knowledge.
That's right, they're silent.
And, you know, you're saved, you're God's person. You're not supposed to be silent. You're supposed to be saying something. And I'm talking to me, too. So, Sheila, didn't you say last week you wanted to help the Christian body exercise these senses?
Yes, and that's really, again, what this ministry does. And next week we will soon begin a contextual verse-by-verse study.
Somewhat rare these days.
And I'm thinking the book of Joel. It seems like that's where it's going. In fact, it has to be now because we made a promotion on it. So I have to stick to it.
I guess that's where we're going. God willing, right?
Yes. Well, he's willing.
Okay. Well, I'm sure he is.
So if you're out there, could you please pray for this program? Pray that God gives me the time to be able to exegese it properly. And I've done it before, but it's been many years, so I have to, like, kind of go over it again.
Mm-hmm.
But the enemy, of course, keeps trying to steal my time.
Ooh.
So pray for this ministry, pray for this program so that we can stay on the air and that the financial help continues to come in so that we can do that.
Great.
And did you know, John, that the Bible contains over 8,000 predictive prophecy verses covering over 700 different matters?
Well, I kind of knew, but it's beginning to sink in now because you've said that enough times. And many of them come from the book of Joel, I'm sure, right?
Yes, and we're going to be, again, doing that starting next week. But understanding biblical prophecy, it's just essential and fundamental for every serious Christian. If you want to be a serious Christian, mm-hmm. you have got to study prophecy. It's the Bible's one at least 25% is prophecy, but I think it's much more than that because typology is a form of prophecy, and every single story in there is a type.
Yes, it is, and that's how they taught Jesus in the first century church.
Mm-hmm.
They used the book of Joel, right? And the other prophets as well. Well, Sheila, I hate to ask you this, but is there anything in the news that's happy happening that we can discuss? Oh, sounds like we do have some news there.
Yeah, everything that's in the news is prophetic anymore.
Wow.
But we have had a lot of things going on last weekend. I'm afraid that we just got a lot of news, and I hope people don't get too upset.
Yeah, don't get discouraged, because if you're saved, you know, this is good news. If you're not, this is concerning.
Yeah.
You should be concerned.
Well, I'll try to talk fast.
Okay.
But we had a Cap David meeting last week of the GH. GH? No, GH.
GH. What is the G8?
See, I can't talk fast.
Okay.
The G8 is some pretty important nations like Japan, Italy, Canada, France, the United States, the UK, Russia, and Germany. How about that?
Oh. Wow.
So, I expect you to memorize that.
Okay, well.
But anyway, same old rhetoric from Obama that diplomacy is preferred over military action to stop Iran. And negotiations are ongoing. Russia later saying words implying that Iran shouldn't trust America because with her allies, of course that's Israel, they say war plans are in the making.
Oh boy. Any talk about Syria now?
Yes, there's talk about Syria, of course. And they talked about that at the G8. Obama said to the G8 summit that Assad, which is Syria's president, he just must leave. He's got to leave power.
Hmm.
Now, listening to that, again, was Russia Prime Minister Medvedev, whose government strongly opposes the bid to topple Assad, and, in fact, is helping Assad to weather the uprising against his rule.
Hmm.
Now, naturally, Russia would be supporting Syria because Iran supports Syria, where Iran supported Hezbollah lives. So, both Medvedev of Russia and the Chinese leader, who are also friends to Syria and Iran, they didn't say a word after Obama spoke, but you can just imagine what was going through their minds. Anyway, we know, but not reported by the media, is that Obama has recently supplied some very powerful anti-tank missiles to the Syrian rebels to fight Assad, and Turkey is supplying some most sophisticated roadside bombs tailored for the Syrian theater that's going on there, and intensely training those rebels to help fight Assad, actually at Turkish military facilities.
Well, okay. Obama has promised to supply the anti-tank missiles?
Well, he's already been doing it, I guess.
Oh, my goodness. Now, will this mean the end for Assad? I mean, do you think this is
going to... Assad's going to be out of there.
And then the part B to my question is, do you think we're going to see the fall of Damascus as it's predicted in Isaiah 17?
I do. I really think that it's becoming through with this fighting that's going on, because Assad will fight. He's not going to go out lightly.
Yeah, I think he's pretty much made that point.
And I'm surprised that he's been there all as long as he is. But again, him being there that long has made him a little more prideful to fight even harder, which I think would be the fall of Damascus, because they start bombing over there, and they've already had some bombs going off
now,
in Damascus.
Tell me whose side that we should be on, because I get a little confused over this. Now, Assad,
well,
it sounds like...
we want to be on Israel's side, of course.
Well, I mean in the Syrian
Neither
thing.
One is any good.
Okay, either one is no good.
Because we know the Muslim Brotherhood will get in, which is what Obama wants. He wanted it in Egypt. He's getting his way. In fact, elections are tomorrow, I think.
Okay.
But either way, it's going to be a terrible leader, and it's going to stop the peace treaty with Israel.
Well, either way, will Hamas end up staying there, no matter what? Will Hamas always be in Syria, or?
Hezbollah in Syria.
Will Hezbollah still remain in Syria, no matter what? Who's ruling? That's my question.
Yes, I would say so.
Oh, okay.
I would say so.
So
they'll go along with the Muslim Brotherhood.
Absolutely.
You know,
I'm sure they will.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're hand in hand. Okay. Yeah. I don't want to hold up things.
And it's hard to say for sure details. They change. But basically, the Bible says all nations will be against Israel. And Assyria was pretty good to Israel as far as not attacking them. Egypt was very good at not attacking them. Jordan isn't is very good at not attacking him, so I assume that they will be next. But remember that it has to be enemies all around Israel.
I am not very comfortable with the Muslim Brotherhood having access to American anti-tank weaponry.
Oh, I know.
And that is scary in itself, because
right.
if they turn that on Israel, we, you know, our anti-tank stuff is the best in the world.
You know what? I so trust God and what he said in the Bible that I know Israel will be fine. There will be some deaths, because the Bible says that too.
Okay, well, let's move on to the, there was a NATO summit last week, right?
I'm saying that there's so much news, I just, it's amazing, but yeah, NATO met, and they had aggressive protesters. I don't know if you saw it on the news. It was held in Chicago. Okay.
Ooh.
Now, the G8 summit was supposed to be held in Chicago as well. Well, Obama at least got smart enough to move that to Camp David because that would have been really rough. But they had some aggressive protesters. And the main topic was Greece and the euro.
Mm-hmm.
And we know what's happening to Greece. They're really going down the tubes quickly. Again, without much accomplished, though, this is the thing. These meetings keep going on and nothing really gets done. The decisions taken under Obama's leadership appear less feasible. NATO issued a strong statement of support for the Eurozone. British economists warned the UK economy would never recover, and that's if the Euro falls, and it would open up the gates of hell. However, none of the leaders present came up with any remedy for pulling the continent out of its existential economic crisis. There's just no answers. But see, isn't that what the Bible says, too, that there's this Antichrist that's going to come on the scene, and he's the only one that's going to have all the answers.
Yes, he will have all the answers, and he'll be, made into a god almost. People will just
They will worship him eventually.
Yeah.
And then the other major topic was the decision to withdraw all alliance troops from Afghanistan by the year 2014. But there is that one technically unfeasible problem, and most people aren't talking about it, although I heard it a little bit today on the news. But Pakistan refuses to allow the soldiers to cross through its territory and depart from its Indian Ocean and Arab Sea ports. So Pakistan is refusing to let them leave.
Our soldiers.
Yes, and not only that, refuses to allow them to bring in goods. They're really not doing
well. The only other way out is Syria.
I don't know what's going to happen, John.
No, that is really.
And, you know, I read so much on the news, and sometimes I just have to stop.
Okay.
I don't know a lot about Pakistan.
Well,
but I know they're not.
There's not too many ways in and out.
Yeah, right.
Apparently. Sheila, you said last month that there were some backdoor kind of talks with Iran that we were doing. Can you update us on that?
Yeah, actually, last month I did say that Obama had been negotiating behind the scenes with Iran's highest spiritual authority, their supreme leader, and he's called the Ayatollah Khomeini, to make a compromising deal on the topic of their nuclear enrichment program that most know continues, of course, full steam ahead and has been for quite some time. But a plan has been written down, and Obama is at this time awaiting Iran's final approval of these points that Obama has laid out. So in other words, he went behind Congress back and wanted to do some kind of negotiation so that he will look like a hero and say, hey, look at what I've done.
Is Congress onto this?
Well, I'm sure they are, but they're not saying it.
They're not saying it, I guess.
They're not saying it. And they're not supposed to be, I guess, but I wouldn't think that they would approve. I really don't, because of Israel. But Obama doesn't think he needs congressional approval, that he only needs international approval. And that's what he's thinking, and that's what he's trying to go through and make sure that that's effective,
okay.
Legal.
Thinking globally. Yes. Acting weirdly.
I don't know all the details, but I can assure you that Israel's two major requests are not met. And the two major requests are no more uranium enrichment and close down the underground plant at Fordo near Coms, the city of Coms. Now, actually, this plan that Obama made up with Ayatollah will still afford Iran enough leeway to carry on developing a nuclear bomb, and Obama knows it. Just like this present gap right now, you know, they had a meeting 4 weeks ago, and they said, oh, well, you know, they only got so far, and they said, we'll have another meeting in another month. Well, all during this time, and if you remember, I reported on this, all during this time, this leeway time, there's no sanctions on Iran, and they're continuing to enrich uranium because they're actually in the process of negotiating. Do you understand what I'm trying to say, and am I saying it clearly? They're stalling for time by having meetings so far apart.
Ah, okay.
Okay, you got it.
Now I got it. Now I got
okay.
it. The other thing that just occurred to me, bright one that I am tonight, is that if it's just an enrichment program for nuclear or for nuclear energy, why is it underground?
Exactly, because so, they don't want anyone to get to it.
Hello, but this is scriptural. You know, God knows all about this, and he will meet Israel's enemy. God will meet Israel's enemy in the fullness of time.
And that's why this has to happen, John.
Yeah.
This has to happen. And in the fullness of time.
That's right. Sheila, what do you think is some of the points to this supposed plan going to be?
Some of the points have leaked out, and primarily, again, Israel won't be able to attack Iran during these negotiations, that's for sure, and will have to get international permission to attack. Yeah. But Iran, on the other hand, only has to promise not to enrich uranium over 20%, where Israel says, no enrichment. But Obama says, well, you can enrich, but not over 20%, which is how much you need to make a bomb. Mm. Under that can be used for energy.
But they're making it underground. Hey, they don't. Lying is okay. I know with the Ayatollah, lying is okay because it helps their cause.
Mm-hmm.
And their cause is to get rid of Israel.
That's right.
And the United States, so they can do it.
And of course they're going to lie.
Mm-hmm.
That's a given, and everybody knows it. And it's so truly remarkable and amazing. If Israel decides to attack anyway, then they would be isolated from the whole world. And they're not trusting God enough to be able to do that.
Hmm. Well, that wouldn't be a bad thing, necessarily.
Not in God's eyes.
Yeah.
But the agreement to not enrich over 20% probably will only apply at some plants and probably not at the underground Fordo plant like I was telling you about.
Mm-hmm.
And still, keep your eye on that. You know, when you're listening to the news, you can listen to see what they're doing at the Fordo in the city of Coms plant. That's a huge one. And to make it seem like Obama is still leaning heavy on Iran now because he's got to look, oh, well, look at what I'm doing to Iran. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He will keep the present embargo on Iran's central banks. Okay, he'll keep that. He'll say, oh, well, you know, there's an embargo on Iran's central banks. However, we know that they've got a blind eye to the small banks in the West that are still executing Iran's international business. China, Russia, and India still trade with Iran, and it's being tolerated. It's just a total smokescreen, and now we'll see the oil embargo revoked as well. So now there won't even be an embargo for that. And they'll say, well, Iran's cooperating.
Oh, my gosh. Isn't that just sweet?
It's just so crazy. It's just wild. But there's another major reason Iran will say they are going along with Obama's plan. Now, they haven't given total, you know, saying, okay, we'll do it. I know they will, though, because they can't lose. But the other real reason is that they want to, well, do you know what it is, John?
Yeah, they want to get the United States and Israel on bad footing.
Exactly.
Or I should say worse footing, because we're not on real good footing right now.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. They want to make it appear that Obama and Iran are friends. And that'll just really be hunky-dory for Israel, won't they?
Yes, won't it?
Yeah.
How are we doing on time, when this is a lot of news?
I know, I'm so sorry, and next week it'll be different. I'm just going to not have so much news. But there's just so much happening, you know?
There it is. I agree.
So, anyway, when this is officially accepted by Iran, Obama will have achieved two key objectives. The world power talks with Iran can proceed through sessions spaced several weeks apart, again, like I was just telling you, until the November date of the U.S. presidential election, and Israel will be constrained from striking Iran during this interim. I've been telling you for months, I didn't think Israel was ever going to do anything. Why? Because the Bible says Iran will join with Russia and attack Israel later. Hmm. They can't, they have to be strong to do that. Now, remember, Israel's demand is for Iran to stop all uranium enrichment at any grade and dismantle the underground Qom or Fordow nuclear facility. I just want to emphasize that again. So when you hear the news, you'll pay attention.
And always
to that.
Remember, this is an underground facility.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, Israel is in, or I should say, last week was emphatic about it. But that was last week. It is looking like Israel this week is tooting a different horn called compromise, which provides neither demands and so affords Iran enough leeway to carry on developing a nuclear bomb program with no real hindrance.
Well, that's happening just like you said it probably would,
mm-hmm.
because of the prophecy in
that's
the good
right.
book.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So on what grounds is Israel using in backing down?
Well, again,
they
haven't officially backed down yet, but from what I'm reading, they say that they decided to go along with it despite their reservations because they have assurances from the White House that any Iranian violations would result in the immediate termination of all ongoing negotiations and bring military action forward as the sole remaining option for stopping nuclear Iran. But, of course, that won't happen until after the elections, if it happens at all. But Israel's submission to the deal would be accompanied by, I'm sure, vocal assertions that Iran is lying about its nuclear intentions and playing the world for a fool.
Mm-hmm.
And they are. And, of course, they will not stand up to the test. And everybody knows that. But here's what I think was said by Obama. Oh, just stick with me, Israel, until after the elections, and then we'll take care of Iran together. Same thing he told Russia.
Wow, wouldn't surprise me at all.
I think we should take a quick break. What do you think?
Well, I think we should, too. That was a lot of news to go through.
I know.
And we're still talking about Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks.
Yes, and we will.
Okay.
Finish it.
We will finish it. Oh, my goodness. Here we are. Shofar Ministries is a 501c3, and that means your donations are tax-deductible. And they're very important to keep us on the air. You can use PayPal on the web or send your gift directly to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton 44021. And all donations will automatically put you on Sheila's great newsletter, so include your email address as well as you have one. Be sure to check out the webpage, too. All newsletters and previous radio shows are archived. DVD teachings are available and make a great gift. And the three-part series on the rapture with so many scriptures backing the rapture. You'll love the study that we did on this program a few months back, and it's great to hand out to your Christian friends who may not think we're leaving too soon. And we will open up the phone lines, too, after the break. And the number for your end-time question is 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. Stay with us now. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour. We'll be right back after a short break and a great song by yours truly.
That's right.
Be part of the AM 1220 The Word's Ministry Flash Mob. During the month, you along with other WHKW listeners will join together in fellowship with our featured ministry with your gifts and messages of goodwill. Listen for special days of the month when we'll alert you that it's time for a Ministry Flash Mob. Then join fellow listeners at WHKWradio.com as we come together to show support for your national ministry of the month. See our Facebook, Twitter, and website for the latest on the Ministry Flash Mob. And be sure to sign up for a chance to win a $50 gift card from TGI Fridays at WHKW.
Although God gave the promised land to the Israelites, they took possession of only about one-tenth of it. What does that have to do with us today? Well, Dr. McGee makes the point that Christians are blessed with spiritual power and blessings, yet many of us are living like spiritual paupers. We're not using all of the blessing God has promised us. Interested in learning more about God's promises? Then tune in this week to Through the Bible Radio with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Join us for Through the Bible, Monday through Friday morning at 6 on AM 1220, The Word. WHKW AM 1220 The Word is pleased to feature The Journey with Ron Moore as our Ministry of the Month. Let's continue our conversation now with Pastor Ron Moore.
You have a bit of an update. What's going on?
Continue to be humbled and thankful for God to have us on. I think the beauty of radio is the intimate opportunity you have with someone listening. And many times when a person is listening to a radio or an iPod download, they're by themselves. And so the opportunity to talk to them one-on-one is great. We get tremendous feedback from people who are really going through some challenging times. And God promises when His word goes out, it never comes back void. So we're always thankful to hear from our listeners and some great stories about what God is doing with His word as it goes out over the airways.
We are pleased to bring you The Journey with Ron Moore weekday mornings at 10 o'clock here on AM 1220 The Word. To contact the ministry, call 1-866-777-1202. Their website is thejourneyradioministry.com.
Have you been thinking how great it would be to have a verse-by-verse Bible study on the radio? Well, it's here. Starting Tuesday at 8 p.m., the Shofar Ministries Hour will be doing just that. In the book of Joel, no less, a minor prophet, but with a lot to say. Explore with us the day of the Lord through Jewish eyes, end-time prophecy at its finest from the book of Joel. That's Tuesdays at 8 p.m. I'm Reverend Sheila Crawford, and I approve this study.
Keep me in all of your paths, Lord, and make your ways known to me. Keep me as close as the dew is to the grass, as the sand is to the sea. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Your word is like a fountain, and it feeds the river of life. It gives grace to all the living, and it gives me joy inside. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I see your face, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. As one of your sheep, Lord, and I'll no longer stray, and I'll feed with the flock in your pasture, and I'll do all that you say. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, I won't have to die. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And with a mighty shout and the voice of the angel, straight to you I'll fly. And with a mighty shout and the voice of the angel, straight to you I'll fly.
Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. That was Sparrow in the Middle. No, in the Meadow. I wrote that and I performed that song just for you tonight, and I hope you liked it. One of those songs that the Lord gave me, and it just was so easy to do. And I know the Lord gave it to me because I've tried to repeat doing another song, and it is so hard. So he really helped me with that.
Yeah.
Oh, I just want to remind everybody the
because we're like sparrows. We're not supposed to worry about anything.
Hey, you know, you're right. We are. And, you know, the more I tamper with it, the worse it gets. And I've just let the Lord take over on some things.
That's right.
But I appreciate that, him helping me with that song, and I love the message in that song. The lines now, the phone lines are open for your end time question. The number is 888-677-WORD. That's 677-9673. Oh, guess what? Just a reminder. Now, next week we begin the new series on the study of the book of Joel.
God willing.
Oh, God willing. And this is a great series. And another thing, too, I want to mention, if you want to be on our newsletter mailing list, and believe me, you do, just send your request to Sheila at ShofarMinistries.net, or if you prefer to use snail mail and don't have the internet, just send your address to Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. If you include a love offering, we will be very blessed, and so will you, and you'll help keep this Hebraic Roots Ministry on the air.
Amen.
Amen. And let's continue now. We're talking about the Feast of Weeks, Shavuot.
That's right, because it's next Sunday.
That's next Sunday. Yeah. And it's always on a Sunday.
It always is.
And I know that because I read Leviticus 23, which we talked about last week.
We
but that's
sure
another
have.
Story. That's another
no,
story.
No, it's the same story.
It's the same story. We were talking about how the feasts of the Lord never get taught, or hardly ever do in churches. And of course, if you do start teaching them, you know what happens.
Or like next Sunday, they'll just celebrate Acts chapter 2 and never talk about how, you know, Exodus 19 was mm-hmm. when
the first
Pentecost.
Right.
Nobody ever puts the two together.
Well,
something I have to mention, though, because this is very, very interesting. Yesterday actually marked the anniversary of the end of the Six-Day War when Israel won back Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
Yes.
We were alive.
I was 1967?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was up there. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, interesting that Pentecost followed the very following Sunday.
Now, that I don't remember.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't either because I wasn't studying that at this time. But Pentecost is considered the birth of Israel. This is the first Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Acts chapter 2 on Pentecost is considered the official birth of the church.
Mm-hmm. That makes total sense.
So the first Pentecost was actually the betrothal of Israel to God.
Mm-hmm.
And Acts chapter 2 on Pentecost is considered the birth of the church or the official betrothal to Jesus Christ. So the Pentecost after the reuniting of Jerusalem, which happened in 1967, certainly could be said that it's the new birth of Jerusalem back to the Jewish people.
Cool.
And that was very important to them. It was like a new life.
Yeah.
You know, they could go back up on the Temple Mount and start praying at the wall, and it was very important to them. Now, what's interesting is that the Palestinians say there will be no peace negotiations without assuredness of the eastern area of Jerusalem as theirs for their capital.
Hmm.
Now, Netanyahu says, no way.
Yeah, but that's today.
Yeah, that's today.
The way things are changing, who knows what's going to be tomorrow.
I know. Well, but again, God's in control.
He sure is. And last week, you know, could you just reread that mandate in Leviticus 23?
I don't have it in front of me.
Well, here we are talking about Leviticus.
Where is it? Okay.
Well, while you're finding that, I'm going to explain to people how Jesus fulfilled the first three feasts, and that was Passover, where the first Passover was to sacrifice the lamb and place the blood on the doorpost of the house. And, of course, the angel of death would pass over your house. Jesus came as the Lamb of God, and he was put on that cross, and his blood was on the wood of the cross instead of the wood on the door. So he fulfilled that part. The second feast is called the Feast of Matzah, or the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And that's Jesus fulfilled that by being sinless, because matzah bread, is, as you know, contains no leaven. And it's a picture of the Lord. And if you look at a matzah, you'll see it has stripes and piercings. So it's a big picture of the Lord there. And then he fulfilled the Feast of First Fruits, the third one, by rising from the dead.
He did. And by the way, I think it might be better if our listeners read the entire mandate in Leviticus 23.
Okay.
You
All
know,
right.
Because we've been reading a lot of it, and I don't want to take the time today.
Okay.
But they need to read it from start to finish, the whole chapter.
Yes, just read it, and read it over and over and over again,
That's
too.
Right.
I've been doing that, and you know what? The more I do it, the better and the more sense it makes.
That's right. And, you know, 4 out of 7 appointments that God made with his first chosen people of the Old Testament, and that's why they were called holy convocations, which means rehearsals, and they were always to do them on the same day every year, because one day God would show up on these days, and he did.
Literally.
His first coming, and the last three, which is the three that are left in the fall, will be met, and it will surround the rapture and his second coming. So this Sunday is his fourth fulfilled appointment, for he sent God the Holy Spirit to empower the believers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
All right. Well put.
All right. Well, you know, 50 days after receiving the law at Mount Sinai, and that's what Penti means. Penti means 5.
Mm-hmm.
So 50 days after they received the covenant and they agreed to everything that God said, now they could bring 2 loaves of bread for the offering instead of 1.
Okay.
And they can be baked with leaven. Why is that?
Oh, okay. You're going to ask me that. Well, this is a wave offering, okay? The priest just lifts this up and waves this. This is the only offering that has leaven in it. None of them do. And it's a new offering. It's a future picture, really, of what Jesus would do by dying for both Jews and Gentiles.
That's why there were 2 loaves instead of 1, which is what it used to be
right.
with the other feast.
And he took and took all the leaven, and that's a picture of sin, to the grave with him. Okay.
Right.
And as the first fruits of the resurrection, he rose from the dead, and on their first fruits, for it was the very beginning of the barley harvest. So Pentecost is the beginning of the wheat harvest.
That's right.
Did that?
And the fall is the fruits and the end of the wheat, where they separate it from the tares.
Okay.
It's amazing when you understand the agriculture and the customs that go along with the feast, and it's just all a circle and continues on every single year. It's amazing. But Pentecost reinforces his New Testament promises to us in Acts chapter 2. Sin and its consequences is no longer a burden to carry.
And that's because the ultimate sacrifice has been achieved.
Praise the King.
Amen.
Now, I do want to go over quickly about the 3 shofar idioms or expressions, because the very first shofar was blown in Exodus 19 by God himself. So, therefore, an expression occurred, or what we call an idiom, called the first shofar.
Mm-hmm.
The first shofar is always associated with Pentecost.
Okay.
So, you know how we have Turkey Day? We know it's Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, if they said the first shofar is about to blow, then we would know that Pentecost was coming, like right around the corner. Now, the second idiom for the shofar is called the last shofar. And again, Paul knew very well what he was saying in Corinthians when he said the rapture would occur at the sound of the last shofar. The last shofar is an idiom for Rosh Hashanah, because they blew with 100 shofars that day, and the last shofar was considered at the beginning of their new year. So that was Rosh Hashanah. So, to me, that's like telling us that some year, and I don't know what year, he would call us home in the rapture, which we'll be going over a lot this year, on a Rosh Hashanah, which lasts for 2 days, so I don't know the day or the hour.
Well, that certainly would be a feast that Jesus could fulfill.
It's not fulfilled yet, totally.
That hasn't been fulfilled.
That's right.
Well,
that's right. So we have the first shofar, the last shofar, and then we still have the great shofar. And that's an idiom for Yom Kippur. Now, originally it was only supposed to be blown in a Jubilee year. But since they were never sure when the Jubilee year was, they blew it every year on a Yom Kippur. And again, the great shofar is very detailed in Matthew 24 at the end of the chapter about how he'll return at the great shofar, and that's a Yom Kippur. And I believe that's when the tribulation will end.
And that's right. That's how we know that we're not, that's not the rapture there. That's how we know. By the shofar.
That's
we
right.
know our shofar wrote.
And that's what we'll be teaching, too, as the months go on. And we talked about how the Israelites compromised their belief by adding the golden calf. I think we said that a little bit last week. I just wanted to go over that one more time. Even Aaron tolerated it. Now, Aaron knew that God was God, but he tolerated this golden calf, and I believe that's what we're doing today. Now, 3,000 were killed because of it by the Lord's command, because they started adding other gods, and the golden calf was another god. And that's compromising. In other words, they did not renounce God the Father, but they wanted to add another god, and that calf is what took the place of an extra god. So 3,000 were killed. You read the book, it's in there. And later, though, when Jesus fulfilled
Pentecost
by sending the Holy Spirit, he went up to heaven and they sent the Holy Spirit down. Actually, 3,000 were converted and filled with the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. So he made up for that 3,000 that were killed the first Pentecost.
So 3,000 were lost and then 3,000 were saved.
On the same day.
And you can find that in
On the same day.
On the same exact day. And
that's
God
right.
is a keeper of appointments.
That's
and
right.
And you'll learn that. And I sure have. Acts chapter 2 says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's kind of cool. Chapter 2.
It is really cool, because these divided tongues of fire, to me, could, and we did a picture of this once, John. You remember you drew me one?
Yeah, I did.
If you look at a divided tongues of fire, it could look like the sheen, which is the initial of God, for Shaddai.
Right.
And we see the sheen on all the Israel's implements and mezuzahs and every. You go to Israel, you'll see the sheen everywhere, and it's the initial of God. Okay. Could the sheen look like tongues of fire then when it landed on the new believers in Acts chapter 2, like God is sealing them with his mark.
Sure.
Just like we're sealed, and he talks about we have a seal in Ephesians 1, Ephesians 4, 2 Corinthians 1. And it's a spiritual seal. We can't see it, of course, but God can see it. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's pretty remarkable how he has these seals that he puts on us. In fact, even in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel 9, Ezekiel's vision talks about what I think is a picture of Revelation later, where he seals a certain amount of people.
Mm-hmm.
And in Revelation 7, it says he will seal
144,000. Mm-hmm.
And Ezekiel 9, he uses the word mark, which at that time was a tav. And in the old Hebrew ancient language, the tav looks like a cross.
Yeah, that is the, sure.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's either a sheen or a cross. Either one is both God.
Yeah. And Tav is, of course, the last letter in the Hebrew alphabet.
It is.
And it does. And early ones looked like crosses.
That's right.
So you have that down.
So what is also remarkable about this happening that most refer to as the birth of the church, again, is that 3,000 souls actually repented, received the Lord and his Holy Spirit.
Oh.
And again, we...
We said that God has
That's remarkable to me.
Yes. God is a fair and just God.
And prior to the diaspora of the first century, the Jewish people would read the Torah more intensely during Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
But a tradition which soon began afterwards is the reading of the Scroll of Ruth, which tells the story of a Gentile falling in love with Israel and its people.
A Gentile.
That's right. This story is a great type of how we, the church, are to feel about Israel, too. Ruth marries Jewish man, Boaz. It's a picture of our marriage to Jesus, the kinsman redeemer, who redeems the land as Jesus redeems the land for us, earth.
And this is typology at its best.
Oh, my gosh, its finest. But the story of Ruth.
Yes, it's that was King David's great-grandmother.
That's right.
Just throw that in.
Takes place during the season between the barley harvest and the first fruits of the wheat, which is between March and June. How appropriate, although not realized, that Jews would pick this story of a type of the bride of Christ to read during Pentecost. I think that's just amazing.
That is cool.
And again, let me reiterate, because this is imperative for the church to see today. We also are to embrace Israel like Ruth did. That is, if we truly love Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
For now we are no longer just a Gentile, but a born-again believer with a new name called Christian. And one day, all Israel will be saved and have the name of Christian as well. Please get a hold of that, people. You can read about it.
Romans 11:26. That's a very important verse. And in Galatians 3:28. Enough time? You can give us a taste of what next week's teaching on the book of Joel.
Yeah, I think just a quick minute. Gosh, we are running out of time.
I know.
Oh,
I'm looking
I
at the
it.
Clock here, and I love you. I love the line by line teaching. And
okay, don't forget, first of all, that Sunday is Pentecost. Please tell everybody at your church it's not just Acts chapter 2, but it's the first Pentecost when Israel betrothed herself to God. Next week, we're going to start a verse-by-verse study in Joel. And remember, you might not know this, the word Joel actually means Yahweh is God. And it was written about 800 years before Christ came, when the king was Joash, who ruled from the age of 7, that's the whole story, under the regency of the priest directive, of course. But the book begins with Joel's account of the devastating plague of locusts that God used to discipline Israel. Now, you know, locusts eat everything. But I believe the book of Joel is a type of what God does in Revelation, particularly chapter 9, when he sends the locusts. But these locusts are going to be from hell, and they're going to have faces and teeth. It's just going to be awful. And they will severely bite humans for 5 months, so much they will want to die. It won't be able to.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, we're running out of time.
Yes, we are.
And before we go, I'd like to offer this to you. If you've never made Jesus Lord over your whole life, or maybe you're just one with just the head knowledge of him and not the heart conviction, all you have to do is get on your knees right now. Repent, particularly of those sins that just keep lingering in your life. If you have to do it over and over again, do it over and over again. Commit or recommit your life to Yeshua. If you have to do it every day, he's the Messiah of all, because it's your choice to choose him, and that makes it your decision where you spend eternity. Remember, God sends no one to hell. You decide that for yourself where your soul will go, because your soul never dies. And it has to go somewhere. There's only two places, and one is with God and the other is with Satan. Who is your God? Who do you follow? You decide. You can do that right now. We pray that you do and decide to give your life to the Lord.
Oh, yes. Please don't waste your life away. Because of Jesus' resurrection, you can live forever. And who knows what God can accomplish right now through you.
I want to remind people, all donations are extremely important and vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. Please pray about helping to sponsor the Shofar Ministries Hour. You can use PayPal. It's simple. It's on our webpage. Or just send your gift directly to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton 44021. And we're going to leave you with the Aaronic blessing tonight. Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai p'nav v'lecha v'chonecha. Yisa Adonai panav v'lecha, v'yisem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Join us again next Tuesday at 8 p.m.
for the book of Joel. Until then, shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.